الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد, we are coming now, we are here at the end of Ramadan, and it's a time to reflect also. Each one of us, we should reflect. Perhaps many of us had that little anxiety that how will the rozas go, especially some who were perhaps ill or something, or they had other things to do. But yeah, we are already at the end, and now on everyone's tongue it is Ramzan. Where it started, it's already finished, and it's just like flew past. But this attitude we should have at the beginning, and then we should think what I have to do in the month of Ramadan. And now still we have got chance till Maghrib time is still the glorious, auspicious, great month of Ramadan, and we should take maximum benefit. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. So to get an idea of this, we will just relate an incident of Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the second rightly guided Umar Thani, the second Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and what his life condition was. So just a little bit about that, and that is about 1340 years ago, roughly about the 99th year of Hijri. He became the Khalifa, and his condition before that, he was the glamour boy of Medina Sharif. The clothes he wore, anyone's nazar fell on it, he shouldn't wear it again. When the day he became the Khalifa, before he became Khalifa, his goods were brought on 30 camels, how much he owned at that time. But he put it all in the state treasury, Baytul Mal. His wife, her name was Fatima, radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was a princess, the king's daughter. Her jewelry she had, he said, he must put that also into the Baytul Mal. And that was also deposited in the Baytul Mal. He started living a life like Hazrat Abu Darda, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A life like Hazrat Abu Huraira, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Completely simple and down to earth. Hardly anything for themselves. And Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived also a very, very simple life, but it was not out of necessity. It was out of choice. Otherwise, Allah offered to make the mountains of Makkah in gold. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam hates so much money, but he always gave it out. Continuously, he was just giving out. He did not live that, he could easily live that life for luxury, but he knew that is not our purpose and object in this world. And we can fulfill our purpose and object for which Allah has created us. That is, the more simpler we live, the more down to earth. The more a person goes into comfort and luxury, the more, much more difficult it becomes for him to fulfill that purpose for which Allah has created us. And that is basically threefold purpose. One is immediately that why are we here? To earn the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. That every time what I do must be for the pleasure, that Allah must be pleased with me. Allah forgive us, but we really many times we've got other agendas, hidden agendas. Even with Allah Ta'ala we got hidden agendas. And who can bluff Allah Ta'ala? يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم. We are only bluffing ourselves. And a person who bluffs himself, how stupid can that person be? But that's a reality. The second is, we are here for Akhirat. We are here not for this dunya, but for Akhirat. And the third is Isha'at Deen, to spread the Deen of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whichever way it can be, by our akhlaq and character, by our knowledge, by tabligh and da'wah, by social and welfare work, whatever way, but to spread the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that is from every aspect. It is, that is the deen of Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam, we have to spread it. It's the only way of life. There is no other way of life. We have to give the people the correct way of life. And here also we know the vast majority of people who are non-Muslims, how far, they don't even believe this to be a correct way of life. So how far are they? So anyway, when they came and they put everything into Baytul Mal, the wife is a princess, all her wealth also gone into Baytul Mal. And Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, also everything, he puts his everything into Baytul Mal. Then The occasion that I wanted to discuss is the night of Eid comes along, when he is now Khalifatul Muslimin. He is Umar Thani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And the night of Eid he had passed, and the whole night crying to Allah tabaraka ta'ala. And why is he crying? So much he cried that his beard became wet also. And he said that, what a month Allah ta'ala has given us. And we did not appreciate it as we should have appreciated. We did not look after it as it was supposed to be looked after. And he's crying and to Allah Ta'ala. On the other hand, let us see what we will be doing on this night, which even Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes that the pious and righteous people also, they feel Ramzan is over now. And as soon as the sun will set tonight, the great, great barakat and anwarat of Ramadan, which were so profuse, and so it just covered everything, suddenly a complete change now. That won't be there anymore. And now things change. We also start taking everything very easy. Let a person, he's still out now, he automatically becomes less. Now you feel, sit with the family, talk with them also, nothing wrong in there. But now that atmosphere of Ramadan doesn't exist anymore. So anyway, when Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, they were tabi'een. But as we say, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, anhum, for such great, great people. So when they came in, she came to Hazrat, to her husband, and she said, the whole of Medina Sharif is in a hustle, bustle. Everyone is getting ready for Eid, buying clothes, and usually in the Islamic countries, the jalib, the mitai, sweetmeat shops. We saw with our eyes when we were in India, from the ground right up to the top where the shop ends, the whole thing is covered in mitai, all sides mitai. He says, and children have got their new clothes, they bought new clothes, which is a common thing till today. All children want new clothes, and that hustle and bustle of Eid, which is there everywhere. That is, which is in the people, which is common, which is in the public. But on the other hand, the righteous man of Allah, see Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. At that time, he's sitting and crying, and his beard has become wet. And when Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she saw this of her husband, the princess, not Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, the daughter of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the wife of Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. When she saw this, she got affected also. That, what my husband, wow, what you, he's now crying, and it had a great, and she was living with him, she had also become greatly pious and righteous, completely different of the previous life. When they were living it up, so to say, in 100% halal conditions, but more like with the comforts and luxuries and enjoyments of life, but 100% still in deen. But now, when she had come into this life of so much of simplicity and so much of being down to earth, she got affected also. How my husband is crying on this night. And then, she said, everyone is busy, etc. So he said that how, I don't know, this month has passed, and whether we should wonder also, and two main things, that whether we have been forgiven or not. Wretched is that person who, and only the wretched, that the month of Ramadan was so much of forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. During the days, du'as are accepted. Malaika are told that just say Ameen on the du'as of the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. At night, Allah Ta'ala is saying, what do you want? The shayateen are chained up. Everything is there, and it is without food during the day. Without the halal food. So your inclination, usually when a person, he eats nicely full, then life comes in him again. Then he wants to do all type of things. As long as he's hungry, he's just lying down. He's doing nothing. So this food now, Allah made it that in Ramadan, halal food also, you are not permitted. Even the halal food, now you just have to sit like that. So you are let down. So this month Allah made it from every angle that a person can think so conducive for our, to change our life and to get the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. A person lives a life of between 60 and 70. Alright, the first 15 years he was nabaligh, we will take it. So then 45 to 50 years. He had 45 to 50 Ramadan. There should be no doubt in his forgiveness. And we should cry to Allah that if we are not amongst those, that Allah, how unfortunate am I not? And we don't know. We hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, fully we hope in the mercy of Allah. But nobody has got a guarantee. So we have to be worried for one. The other thing that we have to be so worried about, that if we are not forgiven one, and if we are not from those who have been set free during the month of Ramadan from the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala sets free every night a million people from the fire of Jahannam. And on the last night, which was last night, Allah Ta'ala says as many as He has set free in the whole month, so many He set free. From this point of view also, all of us, Allah make it that our desire be every year Ramadan must be 30 days. So that means 30 million Allah will set free, and on the last night 30. Otherwise it will be only 29, and on the last night 29 million, so 58 million. So, and every year since the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how many people are being forgiven by Allah tabaraka ta'ala. So that Allah make us from the utaqa, those who have been set free from the fire of Jahannam. There are those who are not going to Jahannam. They are going. What Allah gave them the tawfiq of the amal, etc. But those who have registered themselves for Jahannam, who booked up for Jahannam, Allah is setting those people free. Then a night like Shab-e Barat, how many people Allah sets free from the fire of Jahannam. So we make dua that Allah make us, our families, our progeny, and our people who are ancestors, people who will be coming, Allah set us all free from the fire of Jahannam. And Allah Ta'ala makes it that Ramadan has passed and that our forgiveness has been, we have acquired our forgiveness. So Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was saying that the Ramadan has passed, but I don't know about this. And for that he was crying. How many of us, our minds go to this? We are perhaps just waiting. We know the phone calls have been made that you must come and pick me up from the i'tikaf this time. And perhaps we phone another. Have they left already? Where are they now? And a person is getting all the time. But if this worry was in a person, that how are we, this auspicious month. And as a beautiful example, the money printing machine is going to get jammed now, blocked off. As soon as the sun sets, machine is going off also. As soon as we know it is Eid, and tonight there is no chance of seeing the moon and not seeing the moon, they can't have 31 days in a lunar calendar, it's finished, whether the moon is sighted or not. So it will be Eid tomorrow. So we should be worried about that. Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was continuously worried about this. How much are we worried? Then he asked, anyhow, that you have come with all the children here, and they were troubling the mother, and these children were also brought up in that home. So, but yet, we know Allah forgive us also, all of us. When we were small, perhaps many of us also, we fought a lot with our parents. I must have this for Eid. I must have that for Eid. Perhaps they couldn't afford it, whatever. But we insisted and we wanted this. And usually parents will give in to their children and they go and buy it even if they have to take a loan or something. So the children were troubling the mother the whole night that everyone is going to wear new clothes tomorrow. All the friends, what they knew. But we are going to wear patched clothes. Not only old clothes, but patched clothes we are going to wear. And who? The children of Amirul Mu'mineen. As the ordinary people are going to be wearing new clothes. And all the hustle and bustle of Eid, which we know is common everywhere. But they didn't let the mother sleep the whole night. So she came with them to Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, Amirul Mu'mineen. And he said, why have you come with the family? He said, this is the reason. Children didn't let me sleep the whole night. And they want new clothes, etc. And I came to intercede on their behalf. What did he say? He says, oh Fatima, you also have become childish. That you also now you are influenced by this dunya and all these things of this dunya, and you also have come to ask, you have come to ask me for new clothes for the children. You also have become childish. So just imagine how childish are we not. For each day, the best that a person has got, he must wear. Not new. It's not necessarily new. The best he can, the best he has got, he must wear that. And of course, this is we are not at that level. But at least when we keep that level in mind, we try to reach somewhere along there. So he said that I can't afford it. It's out of the question, you know. I only take 2 dirhams is my salary, which is a very, very minimal amount. In that 2 dirhams, our daily guzran, our expenses daily, that also is difficult. We come out with it difficult. So how am I going to have money to buy clothes for the children? She said, oh, Amirul Mu'mineen, you are Amirul Mu'mineen. The state treasury you own, it's under you. You can take. She said, that is not mine. That is the public money. And I can't take one grain from there for my personal self and without the permission of the public. It's not mine. It's there. Then she thought, she said, there's another way out. That you can take a loan from the for your salary 1 month in advance. We'll have the clothes made and that. And then we'll go through more difficulty. But then we will pay it off. He said that, oh Fatima, who can give me a guarantee that I'm going to live for a month? So they did not even want to take loans because he said, I've got no guarantee. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discouraged very much from taking loans. Unless you are really determined and you are quite sure you will pay it back. Otherwise, a person should not take loans. A person who takes a loan becomes a slave of that. Today, how many of us, we take loans from the bank? And you actually, virtually end up working for the bank. Now you're no more working for yourself, you are working for the bank. And we know it is interest. And that interest also, which is haram, which is a thing of itself, a separate thing. But then you are only paying off the interest. People who have bought homes, etc., other things, then you first pay off your interest. Your capital amount is not touched also. You are just paying off your interest all the time. And if you have to fall back and the penalties and all that, you become a complete slave of these people. And everything you have to now, you have to sing their tune and you have to go along with that way of life. As long as you don't take a loan, you're a free person. You can have just bread and water to eat. Allah, make that jazba come into us. Today, no, I must drive the most posh car. I must live it up. Somebody said very nicely, today our lifestyle, he explained so beautifully, we buy things that we don't need. You just because our other families have got this, have got that, and so we also want to have it to impress people that we don't like. Who we don't like, we want to impress them with money that we don't have. It's borrowed money, it's not our money. So we're buying things that we don't need really. If we live more simply, and which a very beautiful principle has been said, that your expenses you can control. Your income is not in your control. You are going to be paid so much. But your expenses, we find it's difficult to control your expenses. You can control your expenses. When that comes into us that we want to control our expenses, Allah will make everything very easy for us. But we want to live it up like the neighbors, like the other people. So then we can't. Then we have to spend according to that. Bahlul was a very, very great, pious person. But people regarded him as a majzoob, like a mad person. And really, this what we think are mad people, they are actually right. And they know that we are the mad ones. Like today, all the prisoners are walking free. And all the people have made their homes prisons. With all the burglar cars and everything, we have made our homes prisons. We are in prisons while the burglars are walking free. Everything is opposite today. So anyway, people told Bahlul that things have become very expensive, food, etc. So he laughed happily. He said, MashaAllah, we got no worry whatsoever. Because that is Allah's responsibility. Allah took that responsibility. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Allah said, it's my responsibility. Allah said, you make ibadat. You obey me. And Allah will feed us. What we have got to worry? Things become expensive, the wife doesn't have to worry. That is where she's just the housewife. The husband's problems. Things become expensive, the children don't have to worry.
the parents' problem.
And really, if we understand, things can become as expensive as they want to. It's not our worry, it's Allah's worry. And nothing what can worry Allah. It's His worry. We must do what we must do. We must fulfill the commandments of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, and Allah has taken the responsibility, and Allah will see. But we got everything, it's a topsy-turvy world, everything is upside down. We also have become upside down, and we, the Muslims, were supposed to put the world the right side up. But we became like them also upside down. We also just moving in their way, how they are moving. We also moving in that way. So Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said that I can't afford it, it's out of the question, 1 month. And what's called it, where can I have the guarantee that I'm going to be living for 1 month? So explain to the children, but then he explained to them, tell them that this dunya's life is just a deception. And dunya is called in the Quran Sharif generally by the word mata. Mata, for us to understand, is a thing that you take temporary benefit from and a little superficial benefit. Like, for example, we have what we will call a scrop lap in the kitchen. When there's milk spilled over, you take that cloth and you wipe it off. And then you don't look at it with any honor and respect, and that it's a dirty cloth. You want to pick up the pot or something on the pot is spilled, you use that. This is what this dunya is. Some little bit benefit, and that is really also, Allah put it into my heart, into all of our hearts, we realize that what this dunya is. That is all what it is. And the purpose of this dunya is like a safina, like a boat. And we just have to, and this dunya is the water. If there is no water, the boat can't sail. But if the water, a small hole somebody makes, which in the Hadith Sharif example is given, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has quoted this, that if people are travelling on a ship and there are two floors, and drinkable water they have to come on top every time, so they think for themselves, we go up and these people are like smart people, first class, and we have to go and fetch water there. Rather, we just make a small hole here and so much of water here. We will get enough water. We don't have to go and trouble them all the time. And that small hole, and the top people don't stop them. That's another aspect again, that if they don't stop them, then they all will sink. So this dunya, as long as we use it, commonly we say that a person can have a 20 billion check or the amount in cash or whatever right in his pocket by his heart. But he must not have the love of 1 cent in the heart. You can have, Allah gave you, no problem. In Islam, to be maldar is not haram at all. Fully permissible. Otherwise, zakat won't be, where will zakat come? And where will hajj come? Well, hajj and zakat is for the rich who can afford it. It's not for the poor, it is for the rich. So, where that commands cannot be fulfilled. But the love of even 1 cent must not be in the heart. Allah bless us with that. To be maldar is not haram. To be dunyadar, love of dunya, that is haram. So this water, if it comes into the dunya comes into our heart, have Allah gives you dunya, jais, halal, etc. No problem, you can have it. But don't have the love of it. And there were those people who, no matter what happened, their whole warehouse burns down. 100 million rand. But still a smile on the face. Because the love was not in the heart. Otherwise, the smallest thing, how it affects a person and how a person feels. And that is the life of a Muslim. That we keep this, we use the dunya, but keep it outside. Not have it in the heart. So he said, explain to the children that this dunya is temporary. It's going to get finished. It's not going to last forever. And the real life is the life of akhirah. How much we are reading in the kitab Maut Ki Yaad. These buzurgs, when the time of Maut came and Allah put just a jannat in front of them. لِبِثْلِ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْآمِلُونَ. For this, people must make effort. This is what is going to be forever and ever. Allah give us the jazbah that we realize this, that the akhirat is the thing that we have to work for. Just imagine one time, one person, elderly person, and to sit with old people is very beneficial also. We learn a lot from them. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Saab Palanpuri, Rahmatullah Ali, used to say, that when you go in Jamaat, and if you are an old person in Jamaat, you go, you become a young person. And the young people, they go in Jamaat, they become old people. So he said, how? That the old person that you see, everyone is getting onto the bus, taxi, yeah, they're carrying the things. You also become like them. You also become young. And you also become agile and active again. At home you were sitting and for just to get up also, and how many people had to help you and all that. Now suddenly you are active. And the young people, when they get the experience of the old people, they think now like old people. They got so much experience of life. So this is what a person gets. So to sit with old people is very, very beneficial. They have seen life and they give these advices. And from the experience they give. So this is a different thing. And this is a leadership quality, that a person while he's young, he's got so much of that experience of life which he should get when you're another 30 years. When I'm 50. Then I have this, but by the age of 20, he's got that already, that experience of a 50-year-old. He's a fit to be a leader. The 50-year-old, 60-year-old is going down in every way. But this is a young man, but he's got that experience. This is what we get. So, Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was explaining that this dunya, so that, oh, that one person, wise old man, said that today a person, when he's intending to buy a piece of ground, to build a house, etc., secure himself, he gets happy. When he buys the piece of ground, he becomes happy. I got my ground. The council passed it and everything. Now it's just a piece of ground. But he says he doesn't realize his worries have started now. He's from now, there's no house still there. But the municipal rates he has to pay already. The rates and taxes, assessment rates, basic water, basic light, all that he has to start paying, but there's no house. When he builds the house, oh, my house is built. Now more worries have started. Now all the maintenance all the time. And you don't know what can happen at what time, when your geyser burst. Now you're sitting with a problem at what time of the night or where. And if it's some holiday period, no plumber around. And if water is leaking and you don't know where to close the valve also. What problems the person is sitting with. The more beautiful your garden, the more your expenses and your worries are also. So the more we have of this, the more the worries of a person. On one occasion, one person, he was sleeping under a tree in the felt, and comfortably with a brick as his pillow, and happily he's sleeping deep sleep, and the wind is blowing, and the leaves of the tree are rustling, making more wonderful air. He's got his aircon, and no side effects of the aircon, nothing that it will cause this and it will cause that eventually. And the birds are singing, and the leaves are rustling. He's got 100% halal music also. And there will be halal music in Jannat also. And the Hurul Een will be singing, Allahu Akbar. And now, he's sleeping, so a person, a university graduate, he comes there and he has to shake him up, what are you doing? So he says, oh, you look a very academic person, very professional person, can't you see I'm sleeping? That's what I'm doing, I'm sleeping. So he says, no, you mustn't sleep. Then what must I do? He says, you must be constructive. And you must be like an entrepreneur, and you must be progressive, and you must move it up. So I'm just sleeping like this here. So he says, what must I do? He says, you go and take a loan, and you buy a chopper. Then you go to the jungle, and you chop wood. Must be working, must be. And then you go and sell that wood. And then you pay off your loan also, and then eventually you have more money, you buy another chopper. You get one person to work for you. Now you are boss, you got somebody to work for you also. And eventually you'll have more, you'll have 10 people working for you. Now you'll become a big businessman. And you'll buy a truck now. And eventually you're going to have 10 trucks. And you're going to have so much, you'll build a beautiful house. And you'll build you'll have an office, beautiful office, furnished, wonderful and beautiful house. And that. He says, and then, he says, then you'll live a life of peace and comfort. So he says, what am I doing now? Am I not living a life of peace and comfort now? Now you want to take me in this whole one big chakkar, one circle, and bring me back where I am. And in that whole chakkar, Now, any person walks in my office, phone rings, I think maybe the receiver, the sales people, or maybe the somebody else, this person, that person. Now people have, family people have become jealous of me. Now this one wants a loan, this one wants some money, he wants to be helped. I can't help everyone, now they become my enemies because I can't help them. I can't see to this. Everyone now, they are jealous of me, they hate me, etc. Instead of that, I just live like this peacefully, I got no worries. So the less a person has, the more. But we want to give preference to this dunya. Okay? Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has given this beautiful example also, that like a ship is moving, wherever they're going, for Hajj, wherever. And they on the way, they come to an island, and they stop there. They say, we're stopping here for so much time, and people can see to their needs, etc. Beautiful island, wonderful flowers, and what eating things, everything wonderful there. So all the people get off. And he gave his time, by which time we will be leaving again, we will leave. So one group of people, they went there and they only saw to their necessities. They were not impressed with all the flowers and all the other things and there. Just saw to their necessities, they came back immediately. Boat to ship was empty, so they took the best seats. And they sat comfortably. The others went, and they spend more time there. When they came back, now the best places are gone. Wherever they could get places, they just managed to sit there. The third group came, and they came late. And they just managed to get, now how they are suffering. The fourth group, the ship left already. And the fourth group are still left there. They left behind. They're not going to reach their destination also. And now, yeah, the animals will eat them up, etc. And finally, there will be nothing left of them. So, like that, we have come in this dunya, Allah put us here for a little while. And yet, nobody has been given the time when he's going to be leaving from here. But on our time, everyone will have to leave. And when that time comes, then, especially for the wrongdoers, for those who did not believe, there will be no respite whatsoever. But those who did righteous, for how many Allah says, you ask them when they want to come and how they want to come. One buzur told Malakul Maut that you have to do your duty and I have to do my duty. Your duty, in any case, you are going to do it. My duty, I won't be able to fulfill it if you don't give me some chance. So he said, what is the do what you want to do? So he said, let me make namaz. He made wudu, he made namaz, and he told him in sajda, take my ruh. And you have to take my ruh. You can take my ruh, but I won't be able to read namaz after my ruh is gone out. So like this, for these people, Allah Ta'ala, may Allah make us amongst those people. And how many of them, what they see when the time of mort comes. Hey, what enjoyment, what pleasure Allah Ta'ala gives them. So there you will get, we will get inshaAllah, all of us, the whole ummah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a jannat. There will be no water, municipal account that comes end of the month. You won't have to pay for any cell phone or any contract or anything, your telecom phone or anything. And yeah, when your account comes, you see you are billed for water, 80,000 rand. And you hardly use less than 1,000 rand is your usage. But yeah, you are billed for 80,000. And now you just have to pay, or they just chuck you out where you go and complain or anything. There no problem like that. No, we don't have to care. You have what transport there will be. But no worry of filling up petrol. Petrol price is going up, so fill up petrol, nothing whatsoever. Just enjoyment forever and ever. And what are the enjoyments of Jannat? Allahu Akbar. Nobody can imagine. It's beyond imagination. The starting of Jannat is where our imagination comes to an end. That's the starting of Jannat. And where Jannat will go. And may Allah save us to keep this. If it was that there was no Jahannam, no hellfire, just to be deprived of Jannat, that was also too severe. But at least it was that you were there, you weren't getting punishment. But yeah, there is no choice. If it's not Jannat, may Allah protect us all. And how we have to be concerned of our family members and every of ourselves, first of all. Nobody knows what it will be. So, and Allah gave us this month. That where Allah has guaranteed salvation, we have to take it. It's in our choice. Where Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala it made the month that nobody has to be so wretched, and you can go through this month and your forgiveness has taken place. Allah has forgiven you and Allah has cut you out from the list of the people of Jahannam. Such a beautiful month. So Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said, explain this to the children, that they must keep their eyes on that eternal life of the Akhirat, where we are going to and where we are going to stay forever, and not be overtaken by the glitter and glamour of this dunya's life, this temporary world here. We should not be overtaken with that. And the barrier, main barrier in this is our nafs. So that is what we have to try and fight our nafs. And what it is, you just come into the commandments of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah guarantees this type of a life of Jannat, Allah guarantees in this dunya already. But that is when we are not living to the dictates of our nafs. Nafs is our worst enemy. And that yaqeen comes into us to put our full trust on Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala won't fail any person whatsoever. Allah Ta'ala is that friend that when you are most in need of Him and when you are the least in need of Him, He is there for you all the time. We have to build that trust and put it on Allah Ta'ala. But we wait that Allah's help must come first, then we will change. It doesn't happen like that. We must put our trust in Allah and we move forward. Allah Ta'ala will change conditions for us. So for that purpose was all this effort which is taking place. Jamaats that have been going out, all the various places in the world, the khanqahs, everything. It is to bring that within us. And to prepare to get the pleasure of Allah. And to prepare for Akhirat. And to let deen spread in the world. So for that, what we have learned now, at the end of Ramadan, this is the attitude we should have of Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. So we should be worried, the month has passed, that have we done sufficient? Did we have our money-making machine on the fake notes? Have we only printed fake notes? And that we will know really at the time of mort. Really. Yeah, in this dunya's life, many times a person is fooled and he thinks, I'm all right. There are so many people who have fake passports. Now you are very happy, and how much they paid for that fake passport. Visas, they're getting fake visas. And how much? 20, 30, 40,000 rand. But when you come to the immigration desk, this was a fake thing. Now worse, you are also put into jail. Because you got a fake. So we have to see, and we have to check ourselves that our Islam is not fake. Our amal are not fake. Our namazes, our rozas that we kept, our hajj that we made, we have to be very, very concerned. But on the other hand, make shukr to Allah, He gave the tawfiq. And the proof that one namaz has been accepted, for example, you get tawfiq of the next namaz. That your one Ramzan has been accepted, that now you improve yourself, you are going into the next Ramzan. Next year, again you're keeping your rozas. Inshallah, that is a sign your previous year's Ramzan was accepted by Allah Ta'ala. But every businessman, he has this worry all the time. That am I improving or not? Am I going up or am I stagnant? Or am I going down? If a businessman made, for example, 1 million rand net profit 1 year, and the next year he made 1 million rand again, he holds his head and he's crying. That, I made a loss. If you made 1 million rand, he said, no, I have to make 1.5, 2 million rand net profit. How come it's only 1 million? So in our deen also, and Allah Ta'ala calls our deen also tijarat. Hal adullukum ala tijarati. And what a tijarat that will save you from a painful punishment. And all the difficulties and hardship. So this is also a business. But we don't check our balance sheet here. We don't check our financials, that what is it saying. We're just carrying on and on. And a person who does that, he's going to be out of business very soon, who doesn't check whether I'm making money or losing money or what, that person will be going backwards all the time. So Allah give us tawfiq, and with this ideal right on top, we are not there, we are far from there. Today our children or we wearing patched clothes for Eid, etc., we can't conceive it. And from here also we learn Eid is not all the biryani and it's not all the mithais, and it's not all the new clothes, and it's not all the hustle and bustle. The real Eid of a person is that he got freedom from Jahannam. And the real Eid of a person is that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven him all his sins. That is the real joy. So that is, and a person who hasn't got that guarantee, he sits crying that I don't know what has happened. So inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq that we work in this direction, we keep on improving ourselves, as weak as we are, we came for i'tikaf, we all tried in our ways for the month of Ramadan, so let us keep it up also. Tonight also, to whatever extent we can, at least if we can, little ibadat after Isha. Our Isha namaz with Jamaat, many brothers will be travelling, but try and make our Isha with Jamaat, etc. And then little ibadat, and then we can sleep also, no problem. And then again, Allah give us tawfiq to get up again for tahajjud, and we carry on, though not so early, a bit later, but that we carry on, and then we try and build on what we have acquired, and we move on in that way. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Those brothers wanted to become bayat can come forward. NG bayat is just a formality. A person wants to once contact with Allah, bayat is not necessary. Maulana Asadullah Saab, Rahmatullah Alayh, who was in Saharanpur, he used to go regularly to Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi, Rahmatullah Alayh, and he made his Islah. He got contact with Allah Ta'ala. So then afterwards he told, Hazrat gave him Khilafat also. So he said, Hazrat, I'm not even bayat to you. What Khilafat? So Hazrat said, wah, what you talking? You have fulfilled the faraz, you're talking of the nafil now. So bayat is not the important thing. The thing is to have that contact with Allah Ta'ala and to build it. And a person can do that. And yeah, with us. And for that, there are many, many, many silsilas, many mashayikh, alhamdulillah, by Allah's fazal, and our great, great elders' efforts, the tasawwuf has also become alive. And also, we should remember that wherever the word tasawwuf has become an allergy, and people don't like to hear the word tasawwuf, don't use the word tasawwuf. Just say islah, tazkiyah. That is all what is required. The tasawwuf is not something out of this world. The tasawwuf, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, there is no ayat of the Quran Sharif, there is no hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam which hasn't got the tasawwuf. He said, what is the tasawwuf? To make amal on it. You got the knowledge of it, aqimis salah. That perfects your namaz. Which really the meaning is, what is the tasawwuf in there? That you make your namaz perfect. You work towards perfection of namaz. That is all. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. Rozas have been made faraz on you. You got the knowledge, we are explaining so many masail, fazail, everything. But that roza in its perfection must come in your life. That is what is tasawwuf. So every hadith has got tasawwuf. That means just to make amal on it. That is what is required. So for that, we don't have to be bayat also. And we can take a benefit from whoever we want to. But those brothers who feel that they want to, inshallah, and then we try and make amal. And keep in contact with Maulana Musa Kaji here, Maulana Abdul Rahman, many other brothers who are here. Keep in contact with them and let us try and move forward, inshallah. And to make amal on what we have learned. To make amal on the Allah, give me tawfiq. And this is an ongoing process till maut. Maulana Mazhar Sahab, Damat Barakatum, son of our illustrious Shaykh. He says, people go to Pakistan and nowadays everywhere is a visa problem. And when we go and extend his visa, they ask reason for extension, we say his Islah is not still made. So he says that till maut Islah won't be made, so they have to keep on renewing the visa. Because the object is Islah. And a person's Islah, whether it's made or not, we'll only know when we go in the qabr. So Allah give us all tawfiq and accept us, inshaAllah. Alhamdulillahi na'maduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'afiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa nabiyyana wa maulana Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين يبايعونك إنما يبايعون الله، يد الله فوق أيديهم، فمن نكث فإنما ينكث على نفسه، ومن أوفى بما عاهد عليه الله فسيؤتيه أجرا عظيما. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله، فلينظر أحدكم من يخالد. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: المرء مع من أحب. Repeat, O Allah, I make tawbah from kufr, from shirk, from nifaq, hypocrisy, from bid'at, innovations, from all sins, major and minor, particularly the sin of the love of dunya and being unmindful of akhirah, and from the sin of following my whims and desires and being unmindful of the commandments of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu and the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and from the sin of pride. O Allah, I promise to the best of my ability to perform my five times namaz according to sunnah for man in the masjid as far as possible, to fast during the month of Ramadan if zakat becomes compulsory, to discharge the same. If Hajj becomes compulsory, to perform Hajj. O Allah, I enter in the silsila, the chain of the Chishtiya and the Naqshbandiya and the Qadariya and the Suharwardiya. O Allah, by the barakat of all the buzurgs of all four silsilas, accept my tawbah and my bay'ah. O Allah, as long as I live, grant me an Islamic imani life. Just before mawt, grant me tawbatan nasuha. Gather me tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah and forever thereafter in Jannat with all the righteous and pious. Accept inshallah. People will contact Maulana Musa Kaji, he'll give you the what you have to do, the Ma'amulat form, what you should carry on doing. Do that, and then inshallah, keep in touch also. And as the object is Allah Ta'ala. The Shaykh is not the object, Allah Ta'ala is the object. The Shaykh is only a means, just to show us. But the actual object is only Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala accept inshallah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. جزى الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. جزى الله عنا سيدنا محمد ما هو أهله. جزى الله عنا سيدنا محمد ما هو أهله. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الغافرين. واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وتكفل برضا خصومنا. اللهم التف بنا في تيسير كل عسير، فإن تيسير كل عسير عليك يسير، ونسألك اليسر والمعافى في الدنيا والآخرة. Oh Allah, we cannot thank you enough, oh Allah, that you have blessed us to be in the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, you blessed us with Iman and with Islam. Oh Allah, you blessed us with this blessed month of Ramadan, in which your mercy is poured down, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you gave us the tawfiq of fasting. You gave us the tawfiq of Taraweeh. You gave us the tawfiq of Sihri. And together with that, the tawfiq of Tahajjud. Oh Allah, the tawfiq of Tilawati Quran. Oh Allah, we are not worthy of any of these things, oh Allah. We are filthy and dirty, oh Allah. Oh Allah, forgive us. Forgive us all our sins, oh Allah. Forgive us all our transgressions, oh Allah. Our major and minor sins, oh Allah. The huququllah, your rights, oh Allah. The rights of fellow people and your other creation, oh Allah. Whatever is resting on our shoulders, and definitely very heavy it is resting on us, oh Allah. We beg you, oh Allah, to forgive us. Oh Allah, oh Allah, let us fulfill the rights of all the people, oh Allah. It's only possible by your tawfiq, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you guide us, oh Allah. You forgive us, oh Allah. Forgive us all our major and minor sins, oh Allah. Those that we committed during the light of the day, and those that we committed in the darkness of night, oh Allah. Those that we committed blatantly in front of people, and those that we hid away and committed, oh Allah. Oh Allah, you know the condition of our hearts, O Allah. You know our intentions, O Allah. O Allah, please forgive us, O Allah. This is the month of forgiveness, O Allah. Your forgiveness is widespread, O Allah. You are going to make millions jannatis, O Allah. Include us also in those jannatis, O Allah. O Allah, if you forgive us, nothing will diminish in your great, great qualities and your great, great possessions, O Allah. Shaitan will be put to shame, O Allah. And our work will be done, O Allah. O Allah, if you don't forgive us, Shaitan will be happy, O Allah. We will be destroyed, O Allah. O Allah, if you forgive us, O Allah, forgive all our sins, O Allah. O Allah, grant us the best of deen, dunya and akhirat, O Allah. O Allah, be pleased with us, O Allah. We have got no actions that can please you. O Allah, you are infinite. We are making tawbah and asking for forgiveness on our fasting, O Allah, on our salat, O Allah, on all our things. We are asking you to forgive us, O Allah. O Allah, all those who are ill, grant them shifa, O Allah. Moreover, our spiritual maladies and illnesses, O Allah, remove them completely. And O Allah, remove all the other diseases, physical diseases also, whoever has got whatever condition, whichever Muslim in whichever part of the world, O Allah, you restore health, O Allah. You restore our spiritual health, O Allah. Whoever has got financial problems, O Allah, remove them completely. O Allah, whoever is worried and is in perplexity, whatever type of problems, remove them, O Allah. Whoever's work, whatever type of work is not getting done, which is jais and permissible, O Allah, you fulfill everyone's needs, O Allah. O Allah, you see
to all the needs and have mercy on all your creation, O Allah, the animals, O Allah, the birds, O Allah, the ants, O Allah, the fish, O Allah, have mercy on all your creation, O Allah. O Allah, let everything work in our favor, O Allah. Let us learn to serve you, O Allah, and you have made everything to serve us, and we are here to serve you, O Allah. Grant that realization in our aqaid and in our minds we realize it, and then physically and practically also we act accordingly and we fulfill your commandments, O Allah. O Allah, you gave us this month of Ramadan. Accept our fasting, O Allah. Accept our namazes, O Allah. Accept our du'as, O Allah. Accept our tilawat, O Allah. Accept our zakat, O Allah. Accept our charities, O Allah. O Allah, accept every aspect. Accept our du'as, O Allah. All the world's Muslims are making du'a, O Allah. Where and where they are spread out, O Allah. In the jungles of Africa and Asia, O Allah. In the concrete jungles of America and Europe, O Allah. And everywhere, all your bandas and your bandis, your bondsmen and your bondswomen are all turning to you, O Allah. O Allah, you fulfill our needs. We have got great hopes in you. O Allah, it is said that those who have hope in Allah, you will never disappoint them, O Allah. We have got the greatest hopes in you, O Allah. And we know you will not disappoint us, O Allah. O Allah, we beg of you. We have got nowhere else to go to, O Allah. There is no one who can help us. We can't help ourselves, O Allah. Who can help us? We can't help anyone else, O Allah. You are our only fulfiller of all our needs and all our wants, O Allah. We beg of you, O Allah. Please have mercy upon us. Please have mercy upon us. O Allah, soften our hearts, O Allah. With our continuous sinning, our hearts have become black. They have become hard. They have become more harder than rock and stone, O Allah. But you can easily melt our hearts, O Allah. You can make waterfalls to come out from rocks in mountains. What is it difficult for you to let the tears flow from our eyes, O Allah? O Allah, let us turn to you, O Allah. O Allah, you gave us the beautiful nights of Ramadan. You gave us all the khanqas everywhere. And you gave us all the ibadat and the du'as everywhere. O Allah, the jamaats that have been traveling far and wide, O Allah, where and where they made sacrifices with their fasting, O Allah, you make it fully fruitful, O Allah. Make it all a means of hidayah for the whole of mankind, O Allah. All the people who are in Haramain Sharifain, who went to Baytul Maqdis, O Allah, accept everyone's ibadat, O Allah. O Allah, bless us with the true deen, O Allah. Accept from us, O Allah, though our ibadat are not worthy of acceptance, but O Allah, you accept fully. You are the only one who can accept, O Allah, and you accept readily, O Allah. O Allah, please accept from all of us, O Allah. Accept all our ibadat, whichever way, whatever our intentions may have been, O Allah. You are Kareem, O Allah. You are Haleem, O Allah. O Allah, you are the one that you accept even the useless efforts of your bondsman and your bondswoman. You even accept those efforts, O Allah. So we ask you, no matter what our intentions were, when you gave us the tawfiq of amal, outwardly we fulfill them with your tawfiq. So whatever our intentions might have been, however we spoil that amal, in whichever way we spoil it, we are just spoilers. Through and through, O Allah, we eat the best of foods, biryani, and the best of plow, and the best of mince, and everything of the best. And our work that we spoil it and we go and put it in the toilet, O Allah. What wonderful aroma the biryani had, and what terrible smells afterwards, O Allah. But we are spoilers. You gave us tawfiq of the best of amal. You gave us tawfiq of the amal of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how we have spoiled them. You gave us the tawfiq of akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What a complete, perfect deen you gave us. How we have spoiled it, O Allah. But you still, we beg of you. We got no one else to ask, O Allah. We got no hope in anyone else, O Allah. Else, O Allah. Else, O Allah. Else, O Allah. You are wahdahu la sharik, O Allah. You are the only fulfiller of all our wants and needs. Fulfill all our needs, O Allah. Make hidayah to spread in the world, O Allah. Remove all the difficulties of Muslims, every Muslims everywhere in the world, O Allah. Let us improve our actions. Save us from all our sins, O Allah. You protect us, O Allah. Help the Muslims of Syria. Help the Muslims of the Philippines. Help the Muslims of India and Pakistan. Help the Muslims throughout the world, in Burma, wherever Muslims are in difficulty and hardship. Oh Allah, how many of us will be spending Eid with our families? How many don't know where their families are? Oh Allah, we will be having wonderful food and biscuits and teas and everything. Oh Allah, we will be visiting with one another, smiling and be happy with one another. But oh Allah, how many there are in the world that they don't even know where their children are? They don't the war-torn areas, oh Allah, and where the enemies have made people to go in what directions. Oh Allah, we managed to get up in the nights of Ramadan, and those people had to fight for their lives in the nights of Ramadan, in the days of Ramadan. People had to make do with whatever they can get, oh Allah. We not making shukr, we still complaining, oh Allah. Forgive us, oh Allah, please forgive us, oh Allah. See to all our needs. You know our needs more than what we know, oh Allah. You fulfill all our needs, whether we ask for them or not, oh Allah. Allah, you save us from all the harms for which are in front of us, which we are in. Oh Allah, you know what is more harm, what is harmful for us, more than what we know ourselves. If we could not ask, you save us, oh Allah. You are our Rabb, oh Allah. You are our creator, oh Allah. You are our nourisher and sustainer, oh Allah. You are the being to whom we are going to return, oh Allah. No matter how filthy and dirty we are looking forward to come to you, O Allah. We want to return to you, O Allah. We know that you will just cover up our faults, O Allah, and you will show your mercy. One layer of mercy you have shown here, and how many you going to show there, O Allah. O Allah, you are Rahman of dunya, and you are Rahimahuma. You will show your great special favors here also, there also, O Allah. O Allah, we don't know how to thank you that you made us of the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except from all of us. Forgive us all, O Allah. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Allahumma rabbana inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa na'udhu bika min sharri musta'adha minhu نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله الحمد لله بنعمته تتم الصالحات سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.